You are listening to Podcasters of Horror, a podcast about exploring horror anthologies from film and TV, as part of the Super Network, with your hosts, Super Marcy.
And he just gave off, like, very creepy vibes, so you're always very unsure of this guy.
And the terrible Australian, Beat Germine.
Which, in that version, it's a Krusty the Clown doll that's harassing Homer.
This podcast may contain coarse language.
It just kept getting weirder and weirder, and it's, what the f*** is up with this house?
Adult themes.
You know, she's only just a little girl, but he really is very mean to her.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Listener discretion is advised. For more information, please visit supermarcy.com or see the show notes. To show your support, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Please enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Podcasters of Horror, the horror anthology podcast that looks at film and TV horror anthologies or horror adjacent anthologies. And this is episode 29, almost at that magical number 30. And I am one of your two lovely co-hosts, Super Marcy. Welcome back. And of course, joining me as per usual, because we may as well be real life brother and sister who just do everything together. We're like Donnie and Marie, apparently. I don't know where I'm going with that, but please welcome Bede Germine. Hello, Bede. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Marie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Donnie. Let's start to do our variety singing show.
I mean, I'm surprised we haven't started a variety TV show as of yet. I mean, since we've been podcast co-hosts and besties for over 15 years, I'm kind of surprised we haven't had like some kind of spin-off variety show with musical numbers and sketches.
I think we might need to make this happen. I don't know how that ties into Podcasters of Horror in any way. But
we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
We'll do a horror anthology musical variety show.
Exactly.
There we go. Anyway, we are back once again, and we are heading back to the Twilight Zone. With the original series that we have been enjoying watching different episodes for. And yeah, we have like a bit of a list that we're working through with Twilight Zone episodes. And yeah, we've picked one episode each from that list to discuss today. So, Bede, how are you feeling about heading back to the Twilight Zone?
Well, I'm very excited because you know, it's funny though, Marcy, having getting into the Twilight Zone for this podcast, it's been a lot of fun kind of going back to revisit the series. Like I kind of stated when we first started doing these a few episodes back that I think I'd only seen maybe two or three Twilight Zone episodes up to that point. So it's been really fun to kind of go back to checking out all the other episodes that are out there. And I'm always very excited to go back and see how these episodes kind of influence many other different types of stories in the years to come. Because we have talked about previous episodes that had been inspirations for other films like Final Destination and The Mist and a few others. So it's been really cool to do that and see how those films are influenced by the Twilight Zone. But I think what's interesting about the pairing we had for this episode is that it may have inspired the first two films of a well-known Oscar-winning horror director.
And we know that he has an affinity for the Twilight Zone because he helped bring the show back for the, was it 2019 or 2020?
Yes.
Something yeah, around there.
For the most recent iteration of the Twilight Zone. And if anyone doesn't guess who that is, we're talking about, of course, Jordan Peele.
Yes, and I think Jordan Peele's love of the Twilight Zone is very evident if you've ever seen an interview or seen his work. Like, it's very, there's a lot of influence there. And we just happened to pick two episodes that potentially or probably did inspire Jordan Peele's first two films. So it's going to be interesting to discuss these two.
Oh, definitely. And it's interesting kind of seeing which elements definitely inspired both his first two films, Get Out and Us. And watching both these episodes, I could definitely see the influence there. But at the same time, though, he didn't do like a carbon copy of these stories. These are definitely have very similar concepts, but they do their own thing with those ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two episodes we'll be discussing today is Mirror Image and The Trade-Ins. We will get started first with Mirror Image.
Well, I was just noticing it. It isn't very much, but that bag.
What about it?
Well, it's just like mine. It's identical, even to the broken handle.
What is this, some kind of a game?
What?
That is your bag, lady. You checked it.
Oh, no, that isn't my bag. It looks just like my bag, but my...
Will you go over there and sit down?
This was from season one, episode 21. It was written by Rod Serling, directed by John Brahm. It stars Vera Miles, Martin Milner, Joe Hamilton, and Naomi Stevens. The plot synopsis. While waiting in a bus station, Millicent Barnes has a strange feeling that her doppelganger is trying to take over her life. And this was, I guess, part of an inspiration for Jordan Peele's film Us, which he has discussed in interviews, which I found were done leading up to the release of that film. And I think he stated that watching Mirror Image is a good way to kind of get into the film Us, which I found interesting. Our opening narration for this episode, Millicent Barnes, age 25, young woman waiting for a bus on a rainy November night. Not a very imaginative type is Miss Barnes, not given to undue anxiety or fears, or for that matter, even the most temporal flights of fantasy. Like most young career women, she has a generic classification as a, quote, girl with a head on her shoulders, end of quote. All of which is mentioned now because, in just a moment, the head on Miss Barnes' shoulders will be put to a test. Circumstances will assault her sense of reality, and a chain of nightmares will put her sanity on a block. Millicent Barnes, who, in 1 minute, will wonder if she's going mad. Now, Mirror Image was my choice of episode, as I literally just looked at the plot synopsis and I kind of am fascinated with stories of doppelgangers and duality, which very much is what Us is about as well. But Bede, even though I picked this episode, I'm going to start with you. What were your initial thoughts on watching this episode?
You know, I got to say this episode, I had an idea what I was going into when I sat down to watch this episode, being that like the film Us, this is going to be a story that deals with doppelgangers. And it definitely is that story throughout. But I think what's really interesting, though, about this episode is Rod Serling kind of gives a more ambiguous approach to the story, because you're never really sure if what the main character of Millicent is experiencing is a sign of madness, or is it something supernatural going on? And I like that it kind of plays with that all the way to the end. And spoilers for the ending of this episode, but being this is a spoiler podcast, I'm going to do it anyway. When the character of Paul, once he calls the police to come pick up Millicent so they can take her to the hospital, then his bag disappears. He sees somebody running out with it. And then he goes after them and he finds out that the person he's chasing is actually himself. Like, of course, you could play up the fact like, oh, everything that Millicent was saying earlier about maybe there's some kind of alternate universe out there that's colliding with this one. And the only way, I guess, these doubles would try to survive is to take over. Or you could kind of see it as though now that he's experienced being around Millicent and the madness that she may be going through, he's also sharing some kind of same delusion as well. And I think that's a really clever way for Rod Serling, when he wrote the script, to kind of play around with that, because usually with a lot of the Twilight Zone episodes, especially the ones we've seen for this show. Like, he gives a pretty clear answer to everything that is happening at the end. But with this one, though, I like that he, and I stated before, is that he's more ambiguous about the outcome of this story. Again, is this all just a bit of madness that our main character is experiencing? And because of that madness, it just happens to transfer over to the Paul character? Or is it actually real doubles out there trying to take over the lives of these characters? And I think it really plays with that whole concept really well. And I think the performances are great. And again, with the Twilight Zone, given that most of these stories are set in one location, they do such a great job with playing with the story and making you kind of question what is going on with everything that is happening. I think, yeah, I really loved it, this episode. I loved it from beginning to end, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, Marcy.
Yeah, same. I really, really enjoyed this episode a lot. And like you, knowing, it's an inspiration for us, there's the doppelganger element, you sort of have an idea of what could happen, but I kind of was, I guess, I should have expected the unexpected, because this kind of just was its whole own thing. Like, it just takes place at this bus station, and the character of Millicent Barnes, played really wonderfully by Vera Miles, she's just waiting, she's got a new job, but you know, she starts noticing like her bag is in different areas, and the station attendant guy, played so well by Joe Hamilton, I thought he was an absolute standout in this episode because he's just sitting there trying to, you know, he's reading his magazine or whatever, and he, you know, it seems like he's been very annoyed by her, but from her perspective, she hasn't said anything to him before. So you already get this sense of unease that she's seeing her bag is like next to her, but then it's behind the counter, and the guy's telling her like, can you just stop asking me when the bus is due every few minutes? And she's like, but I haven't been doing that. And it builds on that with Millicent then like having a going to the ladies room, and the attendant in there is asking her if she's okay. She looks sick, but she's saying she was in there before. And Millicent's like, I wasn't in here before. What are you talking about? And then I think one of the most striking images from the episode is she sees through the mirror in the bathroom when the door's open, herself sitting on the bus station bench waiting, and she's still in the bathroom. So it definitely like is a really freakish moment that you're like, okay, something really weird is definitely happening. So it is like a case of a double who is going to take over her life, with how we see the story progress with the other character who comes in, who's also waiting for the bus, who's late. And Millicent kind of tells him like, oh, I think I'm going crazy, I'm seeing this and that. And, you know, he's trying to help her maybe like explain it, but she's like, no, this, that can't be right. And as the episode goes on, and they're going to go on the bus, but then she sees herself in the bus. So her double or whatever is going on has already gotten on that bus. And from that moment on, I realized we don't see her case. So yeah. I feel like that double has taken her like suitcase thing, and Millicent then faints, and the guy then figures, oh, well, I think she needs to be taken. Well, rather than call the freaking ambulance or something, it's called the cops, who drag her away screaming. But then, yeah, like you said, like before long, he puts his case down in that sort of same looking spot. But then he realizes it's missing. And it's a really great like one take shot where you see it there. He goes to have a drink, I think, at the fountain, gets back up, and the case is gone. But then you see like someone who looks like him run out, and then they're having like, he's chasing his double down the street. And yeah, I feel like it leads you to think that it's like it could be a weird crossover in realities, and these doubles are trying to take over. But maybe that's because I've seen Us and I know what happens in it, and it is a little bit like that. Obviously there's a lot more in Us, but I can see how that weird idea of doubles potentially trying to take over, but this not being something like, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that, it's very different in that way. So I really liked how this went along, how it gives you these little hints, and then this really like messed up ending, and it doesn't give you any kind of resolution at all with it. And I just felt that was a really interesting and powerful episode. And again, I can certainly understand being inspired by it as well.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, it's interesting kind of thinking about the film Us right now, and with Jordan Peele kind of taking the initial concept of this with a doppelganger who comes into the life of the original person and then taking over to live their life, which is a concept he did explore in Us in his own way. But I think it's interesting how it's kind of portrayed here, again, with that sort of ambiguity of whether the character is actually experiencing this supernatural phenomenon with this doppelganger, or if it's just played up in her mind and she's slipping into madness. And the way how Vera Miles plays the performance, you can definitely see, like, maybe she is going mad, because there is moments where you can kind of sense, like, okay, there is something off about this character, especially during a section where she's talking about, like, her theory about the doppelganger, and then she's kind of staring off into space and not acknowledging what Paul is saying to her until he gets her attention. Like, it's little things like that that definitely add to maybe she is going crazy, or maybe she is mentally unwell. And she might have been this entire time. Like, that's kind of the interesting things that this episode plays up with, is that we don't really know. And I think the episode really does a great job of handling both of those sides and leaving it up to the audience to come up with the answer themselves.
Yeah, because, like, you could look at it as if she is kind of going crazy or something, and she's just seeing things, and maybe she's kind of forgotten what she was doing, or her seeing herself is like memories or something. But I think where you get the shift is, of course, when the is the character Paul?
Yep.
Yeah. When he sort of experiences the same thing. So you can add into that it could be some sort of hysteria between people, that because she's said all this stuff, then he's thinking he's seeing it, or whether it's like actually really happening. And I think that sort of ending with his character really took me by surprise, and I wasn't expecting that. So when that little bit happens, it's like, oh shit. And then it just kind of, he's just there like, what the fuck just happened? And I'm like, this is a really like cool, just like very memorable episode of the show. And again, I think all the performances are really good. I did especially like Dre Hamilton, because he just is so annoyed by what's going on. And that's great.
Oh yeah, I love this performance as well, and the frustration his character feels every time Millicent comes up and is like, "Oh." Even before even Nick comes, he says kind of the revelation of like, "Oh, you were up here before." You could already see the annoyance on his face and the looks like, "Oh no, this person again." So
yeah, it's done really well. Like, I think it was a really well cast piece, and I really enjoyed it, and I can definitely see how this could, you know, inspire and give ideas to different things. So yeah, clearly I don't blame Jordan Peele for looking at this episode and being like, I can do something with this concept.
Definitely, definitely.
And yeah, I guess that probably wraps up our discussion on Mirror Image. And Bede, your rating out of 5 and closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to give this 5 out of 5, Varsity. I really love the episode a lot. Like, I think it's really well handled in terms of how it approaches its ideas and story. And I think all the performances are strong in it, particularly Vera Miles, who is particularly great in this role. And I just like the ambiguity of it. And I like the fact that Rod Serling is not treating the audience dumb with this story, or just pretty much giving flat out what the answer is. And I like that. Again, as I said before, he kind of leaves it up to the audience to have their own interpretation of what's going on, whether it is the main character sliding into madness or if it is actually something supernatural. And I love stories like that, so they leave something for the audience to chew on after they watch it. So yeah, 5 stars for me. I love this episode.
Awesome. Yeah, I give it 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was a fantastic episode. I really, really enjoyed it a lot. And like you said, it is more ambiguous, and I think I really liked that. It leaves us like very like, that was a messed up kind of story, and I really, really like that a lot. So yeah, I recommend this episode to people, just as well as The Twilight Zone, obviously. And our closing narration for Mirror Image. Obscure and metaphysical explanation to cover a phenomenon. Reasons dredged out of the shadows to explain away that which cannot be explained. Call it parallel planes or just insanity. Whatever it is, you'll find it in The Twilight Zone. And even our closing narration leaves it up to you to work it out.
Definitely.
And to the second episode, we'll be covering The Trade-Ins.
Let me just take a look at the medical history. Great deal of sickness, Mr. Holt.
Sir?
Sorry to hear that. Are you in pain now, sir?
He's in great pain. It's fairly constant now. It doesn't seem to let up.
Which is one of the reasons the New Life Corporation is in existence. We alleviate pain, Mr. and Mrs. Holt.
Oh?
We make it a thing of the past. Do you know what we deal in?
No.
We deal in youth, Mr. and Mrs. Holt. We deal in new life.
This is from season 3. And it is episode 31 of that season, but episode 96 overall of the series. It was written by Rod Serling and directed by Elliot Silverston. It stars Joseph Childcrut, Alma Platt, Noah Keane, and Ted Marcuse. And if I messed up any of those names, I apologize. And this episode was a potential inspiration for Get Out. The plot synopsis: an elderly couple shop for younger replacement bodies, then resort to desperate measures to cover the cost. And our opening narration for this episode: Mr. and Mrs. John Holt, aging people who slowly and with trembling fingers turn the last pages of a book of life and hope against logic and the preordained that some magic printing press will add to this book another limited edition. But these two senior citizens happen to live in a time of the future where nothing is impossible. Even the trading of old bodies for new. Mr. and Mrs. John Holt, in their twilight years, who are about to find that there happens to be a zone with the same name. And Bede, you picked this episode, and I'm going to go first with my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I should have expected the unexpected with this episode. I had a feeling of what it was going to be, and it very much starts off in that way. This elderly couple are at a, whatever you want to call it, and this, the man who runs it or whatever he's meant to be is like, oh yes, we can replace your old withering bodies for new functioning ones. And they get this weird presentation of bodies in the windows that they could potentially have. And the episode deals with this elderly couple, and the husband in particular, John Holt, is in a lot of pain. He's suffering a lot, and he's just wanting to have this life free of pain. And as someone who suffers chronic pain, I get that. I would probably be there shopping for a new body to be like, if I just don't have the pain, that'd be great. But it sort of goes in a direction that you don't really see coming, and where John Holt then goes to, because they don't have enough money for the both of them, it's 10,000, but they only have 5,000. So he goes to like an underground poker game where he hopes to win money. And this is where things just get very interesting and different. It's during this game and he's struggling and they're talking and he tells them what the money's for. So rather than take all his money, the main guy there like folds and lets John take the winnings. But in the end, he comes out with the same money he went in. So it's not enough for both of them. And then it's where they decide, the couple, that John will do the procedure. And we see that he does the procedure. He's got the new young body. But it's then where he looks at Marie, his wife's face, and realizes, I don't think I can do this without her. And he transforms back into his old body and they go to live the rest of their lives together as they were from the beginning. And it's a very moving and beautiful story about aging and life. And it's very profound. I was not expecting this at all from this episode. I was in tears, I'm not lying, by the end, because it's so beautiful and so lovely. And again, like the trading in your older body for a newer model is very much one of the big parts of Get Out and what's actually happening in that movie. So I can see where that aspect comes from. But again, Get Out is very much a horror film. This episode is really just beautiful. So he kind of takes all of that out for Get Out, but just taking that kind of initial thing of replacing your old body. But holy crap, I did not expect to be in tears by the end of this episode. Bede.
You know what, Marcy? If you told me that one day I would watch a Twilight Zone episode that would make me misty-eyed while watching it, I wouldn't believe you, but somehow they managed to do that with this episode. And you know, you're right though, when I went into this episode, like obviously I picked it because from the list that we had, and it said that this might have been an inspiration for Get Out. And I thought, okay, since we're doing an episode that inspired the film Us, I thought, okay, this will be an interesting, fun Jordan Peele kind of Twilight Zone episode double feature. So when the episode started, I had a bit of a clear idea what I thought this episode was going to be, given that, well, I guess I should explain. What I had in mind is that the old couple come to this place, they want to exchange for new younger bodies, and then in my horror loving mind I thought, okay, these younger bodies are actually people this company kidnapped.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Like when you see them on display as if they're mannequins, I was expecting them to move or something, but they never do.
Yeah, or at least like when there's a reason why they're not moving, or the twist is like this is people who were kidnapped. But as the episode goes along and we find out more about the couple, it just becomes so beautiful and moving and heartbreaking. And it, like you say, it's a story about love and aging. And it just does it so well. And I was not expecting that. And the fact that obviously when they're about to get the new bodies and the doctor tells them that they're about $5,000 each, that the couple only have $5,000. The wife is not, you should get, tells her husband, no, you should go get this done, but he doesn't want to do it without her. And we can understand that because, you know, they want to do this together. Mm. But then when he goes to that club to play that poker game so he can get more money for the procedure, we find out the real reason why he wants to get a new body, because he's been experiencing an illness for a couple of years. Now, we don't know what type of illness in particular, but there are little hints based on what happens to him during the poker game. And we kind of see like why he wants to do this. And then, of course, when he doesn't get the money from the poker game. But I did love the fact that the film kind of, the episode plays up our expectations with the character of Faraday, who is running this poker game. You think, oh, he's going to be an uncaring bastard and stuff like that. But when he kind of hears Holt's story and he knows that he can easily win this card game, but he decides to pretend to lose so Holt can still keep his money. Like, there's a lot of humanity in these scenes. And then, of course, once he actually goes and gets the procedure done because he still can't handle the pain, and then when he sees his wife's face after experiencing the being young again and all the things they're going to do together, but then he realizes that his wife can't experience that because they don't have the money for it. And when he goes back to re-exchange it for his old body, I was very moved by this. And it just shows that at the end of the day, regardless of what this character is feeling with his pain and illness, like he would not trade that all away. He wanted to be with his wife.
Yeah.
And to me, it is a love story at the end of the day. And it's such a beautiful one. And honestly, I was not expecting that when I sat down to watch this episode.
I was not expecting it either. And you don't get the hint of that at first. Mm. But once the characters you understand how much they both mean to each other, and I don't know what I was expecting when he came out in that new body and he's all excited, and then the wife's kind of having the realization that they can't do all these things together, and I feel like he has that, and it's a very powerful scene. But then when he comes back in his old body and it's like, well, I'd just rather live it out with you, it's like, how is this so just beautiful and lovely coming from the Twilight Zone? There was no weird messed up twist. It was just about love and life. I'm seriously blown away by this episode.
And I do want to give a shout out to Joseph Childscroft. And if we have butchered his last name, please forgive us. And I'm sort of looking up more on him as an actor, and I realize he's actually an Academy Award winning actor because he won the Oscar for his performance in the film The Life of Emile Zola, and he is just wonderful throughout this whole film.
He's fantastic. It's a very, very layered performance for something that goes for 20 something minutes.
Exactly. And it's just like, we've seen a lot of Twilight Zones episodes for this show, and a lot of them have dealt with either the horror or the supernatural or science fiction, but I mean, this is definitely a science fiction episode, but the fact that it deals with such humanity with its characters, and it wears its heart on its sleeve with its emotions. And I love the fact that, like you say, you think it's going to be one thing and it goes a completely different direction as it goes along, but there's no real hints of where it's going to go into that direction in that first half, because you think, oh, this is going to be a horror story. But it ends up not being that at all.
It is like a kind of sci-fi story that is about life, love, and death, told in this just perfectly done, like 20-something minutes. Track down this episode, people. You need to watch it. Even if I knew, I don't think would have been prepared to be like, oh my God, I'm like literally tearing up watching this.
Yeah, I was not expecting it either. Like, I suppose at the end of the day, the most unexpected thing we could get from the Twilight Zone is almost making us cry.
Yeah, just don't expect the unexpected, or expect the unexpected, whatever the bloody saying is. But I guess that it probably is a wrap on our discussion and ratings and final thoughts. And my rating for this one is 5 out of 5. What a bloody wonderful episode that I certainly wasn't expecting. And it's definitely right up there with one of my most favorite episodes I've seen. But just what a powerful piece of 25-minute TV from the 60s. Like, wow. And certainly unexpected from this series. Wow. Beach, your rating and final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm following suit too, Marcy. I'm giving this 5 stars as well. This is definitely up there as one of my favorite episodes of what we have seen of the show so far. It is a spectacular episode from beginning to end. And the fact that it does its story so well within its 25-minute timeline. Like, you could easily expand this story into a feature-length film as well. But I think how it's done here is just so beautifully done. The performances are all fantastic. It is so full of heart and humanity. And it's an episode where, at the end of the day, that no matter how we are in life, sometimes love is what we need. And we wouldn't trade that away for anything, even if that means our own personal problems and stuff like that. Because if somebody's there in your corner who loves you for who you are, then you can get through anything. And the fact that at the end of this episode, when Holt does do that and goes back to his old body to be with his wife for the rest of their short lives together. It's heartbreaking, but it's incredibly beautiful and hopeful as well, because it is a love story at the end of the day.
Yeah, and obviously Jordan Peele did take it to a feature length, but he made it horrific.
Yes.
but I guess, like, you can see that kind of central idea, just trading in your body for a new one is very core to Get Out. But again, like, it's just taking sort of a simple idea and expanding it in his own way. Whereas this story is like, let's be like really like philosophical and everything. It's insane. Like, just how much is packed into this episode. Our closing narration from Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. love gives not but itself and takes not from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. Not a lesson, just a reminder from all the sentimentalists in the Twilight Zone. So a very nice, simple closing narration. And I'm not as good as Rod Serling, but I do my best to give the opening and closing, as I feel like they're just really great parts of each Twilight Zone episode. But yeah, that wraps up this episode. And I have to say, I think we picked two really fantastic episodes to dive into. And again, very different from what we've covered before, but also still ones that have inspired something. And that's kind of the theme that we want to explore first with the Twilight, or at least the original Twilight Zone, is to look at episodes that have been inspired something. And I guess most episodes have, but I guess the goal is to try and watch as many as we can in ridiculous orders and with all sorts of themes and things going on. But yeah, I love going to the Twilight Zone, and I look forward to our next episode, which I'm sure we'll plan very soon. But yeah, Bede, where can people find us this week, or any week for that matter?
Well, people would have find this out there on all social media sites all over the place. You can follow the Super Network on Twitter at @SM_TheSuperNetwork. You can also find us on Blue Sky under SM The Super Network. You can also find us on Facebook under The Super Network. And of course, you can find all of our work and all of our podcasts over at supermastering.com, and as well as listen to all of our podcasts, including this very show, Podcasters of Horror, and all podcast streamers everywhere via either the Super Network podcast feed or the Podcast of Horror feed as well. And when it comes to me personally, you can find me on social media under B Jemine at Twitter, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd. You can also find my solo podcast, Bede versus the Living Dead, and as well as spin-off Bede and Steve versus Camp Crystal Lake on all podcast streamers everywhere via the Bede versus the Living Dead podcast feed.
And for me personally, supermarcy.com, obviously, as Bede said, with all of our awesome podcasts. And yes, they all have their own podcast feed streams thingies. And of course, there's the main one with everything. So be sure to check those out. And I'm Super Marcy everywhere on all the socials, such as Twitter, X, whatever the fuck we call it, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads. I can't even remember. There's so many of them. I am Super_Marcy on Letterboxd. And unfortunately, we can't log these episodes of The Twilight Zone on there, but you can see all the other weird stuff that I watch on the regular. And yeah, until next time, just be careful what you do in the Twilight Zone. You might find love, or you might find your doppelganger. Good night, everybody.
or even fall in love with your doppelganger, but that's a whole different story altogether. But anyways, though, see you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound. A dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.